1. From their windows, their high, generous Georgian windows, the view was, they all agreed, spectacular. It was a remarkable view of Sussex parkland, designed and largely planted 200 years before to give the fortunate occupants of Norland Park the very best of what nature could offer when tamed by the civilizing hand of man. There were gently undulating sweeps of green. There were romantic but manageable stretches of water. There were magnificent stands of ancient trees under which sheep and deer decoratively grazed. Add to all that the occasional architectural punctuation of graceful lengths of park railing, and the prospect was, to the Dashwood family, gathered somberly in their kitchen, gazing out, perfection. "And now," their mother said, flinging an arm out theatrically in the direction of the open kitchen window, "we have to leave all this paradise." She paused, and then she added, in a lower voice but with distinct emphasis, "because of her." All three daughters watched her, in silence. Even Marianne, the middle one, who had inherited in full her mother's propensity for drama and impulsiveness, said nothing. It was clear to all of them from long practice that their mother had not finished. While they waited, they switched their collective gaze to the scrubbed top of the kitchen table, to the spongeware jug of artless garden flowers, randomly arranged, to their chipped and pretty tea mugs. They were quite still, scarcely breathing, three girls waiting for the next maternal tirade. Belle Dashwood continued to gaze longingly at the view. It had been the girl's father, their recently appallingly dead father, who had called their mother Belle. He said, in his emotional, gallant way, that as a name, Belle was the perfect fit for its owner, and in any case, Isabella, though distinguished, was far too much of a mouthful for daily use. And so Isabella, more than 20 years ago, had become Belle. And in time, quietly and unobtrusively, she had morphed into Belle Dashwood, as the wife, apparently, of Henry Dashwood, and, more certainly, the mother of Eleanor and Marianne and Margaret. They were a lovely family, everyone remarked upon it. That open-hearted man, his pretty artistic wife, those adorable girls of theirs. Their charm and looks made them universally popular, so that when Henry had had a fairy tale stroke of luck, and was summoned with Belle and the girls to share the great house of a childless old bachelor uncle, to whom Henry was the only heir, the world had rejoiced. To be transported from their happy but anxiously threadbare existence to live at Norland Park, with its endless bedrooms and acres, seemed to most of their friends only a delightful instance of the possibility of magic, an example of the occasional value of building castles in the air. Old Henry Dashwood, uncle to young Henry, was himself part of that nostalgic and romantic belief in the power of dreams. He had been much beloved, a kind of self-appointed squire to the whole district, generous to the local community, and prepared to open the doors of Norland to all manner of charitable events. He had lived at Norland all his life, looked after by a spinster sister, and it was only after she died that he realized the house needed more human life in it than he could possibly provide by himself. And that realization was swiftly followed by a second one, a recollection of the existence and circumstance of his likeable, if not particularly high-achieving heir, his nephew Henry, only child of his younger and long-dead sister, who was now, by all accounts, living on the kind of breadline that old Henry was certain that no Dashwood should ever be reduced to. So young Henry was summoned for an audience, and arrived at Norland with a very appealing companion in tow, and also, to old Henry's particular joy, two little girls and a baby. The family stood in the great hall at Norland and gazed about them in awe and wonder, and old Henry was overcome by the impulse to spread his arms out and to exclaim there and then that they were welcome to stay, to come and live with him, to make Norland their home forever.
"I will rejoice," he said, his voice unsteady with emotion, "to see life and noise back at the park."
He had glanced damp-eyed at the children.
"And to see your little gumboots kicked off by the front door. My dears, my very dears."